The Chief of Staff's number one priority is readiness of the Army. Equipment and material readiness are imperative lines of effort in equipping and sustaining the force in order for us to train. As we explore how echelons of the battalion below increase the readiness of their formations, our first episode in this series today focuses on command maintenance. Today we're going to explore the fundamental concepts of command maintenance and share some best practices we use as company commanders. Co-hosting with me today is Captain Wes Lafitte. Wes, it's been a while since you've been on the podcast, and it's good to have you back. This episode is going to be more of a discussion rather than an interview, so I want to jump into our first topic. So Wes, our first topic is focused on command maintenance day, and most units use the first duty day of the week to perform command maintenance, or colloquially known as motor stables, and this is a great opportunity to set the tone for the week in your formation. So I really want to just spend the next couple minutes here on how we can optimize command maintenance day, and if you could share some of your best practices from the time when you were a commander.
I'd say the number one priority for command maintenance is leader presence and leader involvement. Having the leader there shows that the leader actually cares about what's going on, actually cares about the maintenance program, and it sets the precedent for the rest of the soldiers to know that, hey, if my leader is out here, I am also out here, and I'm trying to do my best to make sure we're fulfilling whatever our mission is when it comes to command maintenance.
So to elaborate on leader presence, one thing that the two battalions I've been in, we tried to really eliminate or minimize was appointments or distractions that week, because one of the big struggles we had was, honestly, the amount of equipment we had was more than the operators we could have on any given day to PMCS all that equipment. So we'd really tried to minimize those appointments, and in a technique that we used was issuing out the 5988s, whether it was on a disc or paper copy, on Friday prior, making sure all the PLs and PSGs had their 5988s and were ready to come at 0930 to PMCS their equipment. One other thing to really focus on command maintenance that first day of the week of setting the tone is ensuring that you're utilizing time for cross-training on equipment or operator licensing when you're doing your PMCS, driving your equipment around and cross-training your operators on all the equipment in your company. That way, theoretically, anybody could do a PMCS on that piece of equipment that they're licensed for. Wes, can you talk a little bit about digital communications training and sustainment training for our 92 series soldiers?
Absolutely. I'd like to back up a little bit, and I like to say, so we just talked about minimizing appointments and distractions, but I think it's also key here to understand that command maintenance is a training opportunity, so it's important to maximize those training opportunities that are available for you. This is one of the only times during the week where you have most of your soldiers focused attention without having to be in the field, without having to be in a field environment. A lot of times units will lock those soldiers, for lack of a better term, lock them in the motor pool and have them focus completely on command maintenance. And while they're doing that, they're going through their PMCS and they're bringing in other people to show them how to go through the PMCS, how to care for the equipment, how to maintain the vehicles, how to use the vehicles or equipment. And a part of that in many units that I've been in has been the digital communications and digital sustainment training. I, by trade, am a field artilleryman, so we spend a lot of our motor pool Mondays doing digital fire support sustainment training. And we get everybody from the Ford observers and their equipment, whether it be the B-Fist or one of their handheld digital pieces of equipment, all the way to the fire direction center and their digital computers, all the way down to the gun line and their digital systems on their guns. And we have them all come online and we have them practice actually using that equipment. And so that gets after making sure that our systems work. That gets after making sure we have people trained on those different systems. We can throw different scenarios in to train up soldiers, and they're getting their training. We're making sure our equipment works, and we're exercising our systems to make sure that once we have to actually go to the field or to deployment to make this stuff work, it actually works. And it's more than just turning on the computers and the radios. We're putting up OE-254s, so breaking out those OE-254s and making sure the poles aren't bent, making sure that the antenna will screw together. We're breaking out our cables and making sure the cables aren't frayed and torn up. So getting after some of those extra training opportunities will also help you in turn, not only training your soldiers, but it'll help you identify equipment deficiencies that you might have outside of doing PMCSing on every single piece of equipment that you have.
We did a similar thing in our formations where not necessarily using the field artillery digital systems, but we would fire up our FPCB2s, which are now the JCRs, on a monthly basis and making sure that they could connect with the daggers and contact each other. And that kind of brings up my last 2 points on this specific topic. I think it's really important for, especially at the commander level, that you have a monthly battle rhythm so that you are wrapping up all the low density PMCS type of equipment. And what I mean by that is looking at everything on your property book that needs to be maintained and ensuring that someone gets hands on that piece of equipment at least on a monthly basis. So what I mean by that is maybe the first week of the month, in addition to doing your vehicles, you also do a PMCS of all your weapons. And the second week could be your radios and your optics. Third week could be generators or tents. So something like that, looking at everything that is in your property book and then your SAMS box to ensure that it gets maintained and repaired on a routine basis. This is more of a TTP, but something that both of the battalions I've been in, we did on a weekly or biweekly basis, was a 15-minute command maintenance LPD for all the platoon sergeants and above. So that was part of our education of the key leaders in the battalion on a specific topic that rotated, whether it was on how to recover a vehicle properly or how to visually inspect the combo equipment in your vehicle. A couple other ones were how to draw oil from the oil collection point and do those sort of operator level repairs and maintenance. I think that was very helpful because it just educated the PLs on some of their responsibilities and making sure that their soldiers are ready to go.
And similarly, in most of the units I've been in, we've had a command maintenance focus. Every week we switch to something different, and that would be what the battalion or the company battery troop was focusing on for that week. And we made sure we had a lot of focused attention on it and that the soldiers knew that it was important to us. And they actually went into excruciating detail on those specific items that we were looking for during our PMCS. I'd like to transition this into our next topic. I know for me as a PL and XO, a lot of the jargon, a lot of the things you hear people throwing around in the logistics world can seem kind of intimidating. I think it'd be good for us, Dave, to talk about, you know, some of the essential reports and routine functions that leaders will find themselves encountering, especially PLs and XOs, and what we can do with those and how those actually help us. Because I think it's more than just, you know, fancy words and numbers. Like, these tools actually help you maintain your unit in a more efficient manner.
Yeah. So the first thing I'll say is I'm going to try and track down. Someone sent to me several years ago, it's called a logistician's cheat sheet, and it's an Excel table with all these acronyms broken down. And I'll try and track that down and put it up on the Junior Officer Forum website. But the first thing everyone should know is a 5988 Echo is your maintenance repair sheet that for every piece of equipment in your SAMZ box should have, and that's what you do all of your PMCS daily, weekly, monthly inspections on. It has a workflow of repair, and you need to have a fresh copy every week and make sure that you're tracking the repair flow for that piece of equipment. The second thing is the 026 or deadline report. So the 026 is a roll-up of all the battalion's equipment that's on that is officially deadlined as reported by the battalion maintenance tech. Really important that if you have a deadline piece of equipment, you and your XO, if you're a PL, know that's on the deadline report. You know how to read it. If you just Google how to read a deadline report, there's plenty of briefs out there. You got to make sure that you know that piece of equipment that's deadlined gets on the report, has a document number, you're following up, you get an estimated time for when that piece of equipment repair part comes in, and that it's getting repaired in a timely manner. The third bullet we want to talk about is SSL and ASL. So those are shop stock lists and authorized stock list, and that is essentially a list of number of pieces of repair parts that your battalion has built a demand for that you can have on hand and not have to go and order through the Army's supply system. So a good example is a Humvee starter. If your battalion has a demand requirement, for some reason, a lot of the starters in your Humvee, a lot of starters for your Humvees in your battalion have gone down. You may just keep those on your stock list, and your maintenance tech and your motor pool sergeant can pull those off the shop stock to put them in and repair, and your vehicle is back to a 1020 standard. The last piece of jargon I want to bring up are two different reports and or programs. So the first one is AOAP, Army Oil Analysis Program. That's primarily for your tracked equipment. So it's really important if you're in a heavy unit or you have some engineer equipment that on a routine basis, I believe it's monthly, I have to go back and check, but on a routine basis, you're doing an oil sample and sending it off to the lab to get checked to make sure that your piece of equipment doesn't have overabundance of metals or fragments in the oil and it's not functioning correctly. Every battalion is supposed to have a trained AOAP soldier or NCO that is on appointment orders to do that report and make sure that, you know, you just do it on a routine basis. Last thing is TMDE. TMDE is test, measurement, diagnostic equipment. Those are your pieces of equipment that have to be calibrated on a routine basis. And a good example is the head spacing timing gauge for the old 50 cals. Some of the new 50 cals don't, you know, they don't require them, but TMD is essentially those calibration items that have to be calibrated every so often. Sometimes it's semi-annual, sometimes it's an annual basis. Your local TMD office and your maintenance tech has a report, and it's imperative that the XO for each company knows what's on the TMD list and sends those items out to make sure they're calibrated so you can maintain your equipment properly and you're preventing some potential deadline or safety issues. So hey, there's lots of jargon. We'll get into some best practices and opportunities how to educate yourself on the jargon when it comes to.
So to follow up on Dave, that 5988 Echo, that's your bread and butter. It's what you should be really watching to kind of watch your maintenance flow to make sure that what you are reporting is actually getting fixed. There's a lot that goes into that 5988 Echo, and there's a lot tracked on that particular form. What I was blown away by was the shop stock listing when I first heard about that particular document existing. Found out about it as a very young lieutenant, and someone related to me as the Napa Auto Parts for the battalion or the brigade. And I thought that was a pretty cool way to remember that. And I always wanted to pull that as an XO so I could know exactly what we had on hand and what could be fixed quickly and what we had to kind of wait on, so I could, you know, prepare my commander so that he knew exactly what was going on with our maintenance and how long we could expect things to be deadline. For all these digital systems, all these things are available digitally. You'll have people, so little clerks who work in the maintenance office that actually 92 alphas. Yeah, they'll work in the maintenance office and they'll actually do these things for you digitally. But you can't forget that digital systems fail. And the 2404 is a great document that you can use if you don't have a 5988. You know, as an XO, I used to have 2404s in my little XO notebook just in case something went down and I didn't have a 5988 for that piece of equipment on hand. So don't forget your manual systems. Each one of these systems has a manual version. I think it's important that we keep on hand and we're able to actually utilize
that. A command maintenance is not a one day a week thing. It is a holistic effort to promote readiness. So what we want to talk about here is how do we integrate command maintenance into our everyday operations and training in order to promote readiness and those collective training opportunities.
I'll start off with one of my favorites, which is enforcing PMCSs and services in the field. Maintenance does not stop just because you roll out of that motor pool gate. And if you do stop maintenance once you roll out of that motor pool gate on day three, or sometimes day one and two of that field exercise, or that field train exercise, or that deployment, your vehicles, your equipment may not work as well for you as they did while you were actually actively maintaining them. So it's important that you enforce that your soldiers actually conduct a PMCS and still conduct services in the field, because that stuff still has to continue, and it will continue once you return to the motor pool, and you don't want to be behind on that. And the next thing I would add to that is enforce a actual recovery period after you return from the field. do not allow people just to park those vehicles and to store that equipment without going through and doing an after action PMCS on that piece of equipment or vehicle. Because if you don't, then you will find that things will be broken the next time you want to use them. And a lot of times you can catch a lot of the problems that occur from the field problem or field exercise immediately, so that you can actually have that maintenance cycle happening while you wait to go to the field the next time you have to roll out the gate.
To caveat on a few of your points, not only is doing PMCS and services in the field, but making sure that you're putting services on the training calendar. So if you don't have the opportunity to do maintenance in the field, that you are scheduling those semi-annual or annual services well before a major training event. A good example is NTC. If you're taking something that you're not drawing from the grid, what's it called? You are line hauling or railing something to NTC. That service needs to be done well before that piece of equipment's loaded up. Especially if it's a pacing item, you got to take it. So make sure the service is done. There's a 10% window for services. What I mean by that is, if it's an annual service, you have 36 days to the left or right on when you can do that service. So you, as a commander and your XO and your motor sergeant and your PLs, should take a look at the annual training calendar when your services are due and try and balance those out, so you're not overloading your maintenance section on any given week, any given month to bust services. I've seen that happen where the workload is too much on your small maintenance section to where you're starting to get over that 10% limit. And once you hit that, that's what's called an administrative deadline, and you can't use that piece of equipment. That's bad juju for everyone. So just make sure you manage that well. Another TTP for integrating command maintenance into everyday operations. A big part of the command maintenance program, honestly, is having a solid driver's training program to ensure that your operators are licensed on every piece of equipment that they touch and work on, and having a good master driver and NCOs that are certified to train on those pieces of equipment. And something that I used in my company command was, when we did our pre or post service dispatch and road test, I used that as an opportunity for drivers to get certified on that piece of equipment. So we kind of killed two birds with one stone. And it's all in the name of having everybody being cross-trained and ready to go on any piece of equipment. We were on a PDTO CONUS disaster response mission, and hey, if something happened, we had to get out the door in 72 hours. So we want to make sure that everyone was trained as much as possible, on that. And don't forget your special services. We kind of talked about it as well. Got to make sure that your weapons, MVGs, radios, anything that goes to Team DE is getting serviced by the appropriate maintenance shop, and you know who to contact to get those things serviced. Okay, Wes, so moving on to our next topic. Command maintenance is ultimately a commander's program, and I hadn't heard this phrase until about 6 or 7 years in the Army, and it was a two-star who mentioned it to us in LPD, and the phrase was, you have to inspect what you expect. That really stuck with me as far as command supply and command maintenance discipline. You definitely wanted to add this into the conversation. I was hoping you could elaborate for our listeners.
Yeah, so inspecting what you expect is like one of my go-to ad-libs. Like, I'm an ad-lib guy, and I have like a bank of 1,000 ad-libs, and this is one of my go-to leadership lesson ad-libs. I think this is important because we all know we all have priorities, and soldiers have priorities, and if you don't tell them what the priorities are, they're not going to execute. Well, they may not execute according to your priorities. And if you're not out there checking on those priorities, they might not think they're as important to you. So those might fall off the list as a priority to them. So inspecting what you expect, kind of plays to that. You know, you're making sure people understand exactly what your priorities are, and you're communicating that they're important to you by being there, being a present leader, and showing them that you're looking for these particular things that you said you expected. You know, and so along with that, you know, we talked about leader presence up front as one of the key components of command maintenance. You know, do a PMCS with your soldiers. That's a good time for you to get to know them. That's a good time for you to see what they're doing well at the PMCS. That's a good time for you to kind of like explain your intent behind different things. It's there's so much you can get after while you're doing a PMCS besides actually PMCSing that piece of equipment. And I think it's a valuable time for leaders to actually show people what they expect to occur during command maintenance. We talked about limiting extra activities. So if you told soldiers to focus on something, you know, maybe you create an environment to where they can actually focus on the things you want them to focus on. And you limit those training distractors. You limit the things that they do not need to be focused on in that moment to accomplish whatever mission that you've given them. Another piece or key component is check to make sure people are actually doing the doing the PMCS by the TM, right? So sometimes people take shortcuts. I mean, it's just kind of the fact of life. Sometimes people take shortcuts. And shortcuts over time build up to big issues. And sometimes a shortcut can be an issue right there on the spot. But I say all that because, you know, sometimes soldiers will rush through a PMCS or they might skip a step. They might misread something. They might not be following the TM. They may be doing it the way someone taught them how to do it. And that way might be wrong. So find ways to inspect and make sure that they're actually following that TM. A way that I like to inspect that on a Humvee, you know, is I'll go and I'll lift up the seat and I'll check the battery to make sure people have actually gone and looked in the battery to make sure that liquid's inside of the battery compartment. And if I see that it's all crusted up, no one's touched it in a while, then I know that they may not be following the TM to the T. And then we have a conversation about that. So you have to find those little points that you can insert yourself and figure out, you know, hey, are they really following the TM when it comes to PMCSing that equipment?
Wes, those are all really, really valid points. The only thing I want to add to that conversation, when you're at the company command level, I think it's a good practice to have your PLs, either it can be at the training meeting or a separate meeting, but have them brief the current status of their vehicles. So that could be a weekly 5988 scrub after command maintenance that you do with your XO. Or on top of at your weekly training meeting, you can also make sure your PLs are briefing you when for the next couple weeks what vehicles are going into service, so they know that they're engaged and they understand their responsibility as owners, as sub-hander seat holders of that equipment. Okay, so moving on to our next topic. Kind of titling this as best practices, TTPs, tradecraft, stuff that you won't necessarily see in a DAPAM or regulation, but just things that have really worked for us. The first thing for me, or two things I want to highlight in this topic before handing over to Wes, are one, know who your recovery section leader is. That is an essential person in the battalion who has got that what's called Hotel 8 additional skill identifier trained. They're either got a tracked or wheeled wrecker vehicle, and in a pinch, when you're stuck in a training site, stuck in the mud or clay down at Fort Benning, like we've been a couple times, you can call them and they can recover your piece of equipment. They can also cross train your NCOs and soldiers on how to do a self recovery with tow bars and straps. So that's one thing, is building that network and talking with your recovery section. Secondly, go to the what at Fort Stewart were known as the COMET courses, or Command Evaluation Training Team courses on post. For us, it was you're making sure you guys are Master Driver certified, the Maintenance Manager course, Commander's XO Maintenance course, and PMCS Cadre course. We've talked about this TTP in previous episodes of sending your junior leaders to these courses so they get the regulatory baseline knowledge on what their roles are in the maintenance program. It's like free chicken. That's my ad lib, Wes, is free chicken. And I tried to go to every one I could before, either when I was an S4 or when I was a maintenance officer before becoming a PL and commander respectively. And I thought it was very helpful to learning from, by and large, they were retired NCOs or warrant officers teaching us by the book.
Awesome, Dave. I'd like to add to the best practice of knowing who the recovery section leader and is in. Just say, like, just walk around and build relationships with everybody in that motor pool. Like, get to know everybody from the clerk who's typing in your stuff on the 5988 to the maintenance tech who's out in the maintenance shed working on your equipment. I mean, get to know everybody, because those relationships will pay off down the road. And when they know you and they care about you, they tend to care about your equipment a little more. The next thing I'll add to that is I had an old crusty first sergeant, and he'll agree he's crusty too, but he looked at me with his crow's feet and squinted his eyes and said, Lieutenant Lafitte, I got something to tell you. You got, you know, a quick way to kind of figure out what a unit's all about by looking at their motor pool, right? And he said, go look for grass in the cracks, go look for vehicles being aligned, and go look for chalk blocks and drip pans underneath the vehicles. And he said, if you see grass in the cracks, it might mean that the soldiers are not disciplined and they might not care about their unit as much, and that they're, you know, looking over small things like, you know, picking up the grass in the cracks or picking up trash off the ground as in the motor pool and just letting it lay there and fester. The next thing he talked about was the vehicles being aligned. And he said that if vehicles weren't aligned, that meant that leaders and NCOs weren't paying attention to detail when it came to how their motor pool was arranged. And then finally, he said chalk blocks and drip pans were important because if a unit didn't have them, then that means that the unit doesn't understand their own maintenance processes, or they may not be funded enough to get that equipment and other equipment for their equipment and vehicles. So those are my best practices in TTPs. I think next we're going to transition into some common pitfalls and maintenance horror stories. Dave, take it away.
What we're called. Anyway, so I'm not going to spend too much time on the maintenance horror stories, but I do want to talk about some common pitfalls. And I call these pitfalls because I think it's just some things that junior officers don't know or they're not taking the time to learn. So two things for me were, one, not following up on your deadline faults and ordering parts in a timely manner. So by the book, you have a timely deadline. I think it's 48, 72 hours between that timeline from when you identify and that deadline fault's been verified to have a maintenance representative validate that fault and order a repair part and following up and making sure that repair part doesn't fall off on a 5988. So you got to follow up with your maintenance section, and that's part of being proactive as a junior leader. And then the second one is not from the command level and working with your first sergeant NCOs. If you're overtasked and you don't know what your priorities are, it can be very tough to make sure that you have operators on standby for normal services and repairs. So when a vehicle is in service, the maintenance section requires that you have an operator there to do the operator level work, like replacing the oil, cleaning out the vehicle, all that type of stuff. And what the big challenge we had was just too many competing priorities. And when you don't have operators on standby, that just delays the services, backs up the workload, and you start busting services and having admin deadline fault or admin deadline vehicles, which creates a lot of unnecessary stress on the command team. So those are two things: not following up with deadline faults, and then not having operators on standby because you've got too many competing priorities. So you just have to really balance that out as a commander. You got to lay everything out on the week and working with your NCOs to make sure people are there, actively engaged in the motor pool throughout the week.
I will add to that it's important for junior leaders to know what they can and cannot control substitute. So we all know young lieutenants and young captains love to just get stuff done. And sometimes that means, hey, we'll pull a part off one vehicle and put it on another and boom, it works, you know. Sometimes that's an okay answer and sometimes it's not. And you got to understand when it's okay for you to pull a part off one vehicle to put it on another and make that vehicle work and further deadline another vehicle. And that authority level differs depending on what unit you're in. So you have to make sure you have that deliberate conversation with the company commander and or the battalion level leadership.
Piece of equipment. All right, Wes, we're running short here on time. So let's wrap up this episode and talk about some resources to learn more. So one of my favorites, and it's not a really well publicized resource anymore, but it's the PM Magazine. It's a preventive maintenance monthly magazine found on LIW. When I was a BMO, my battalion XO actually gave me a mission to go to the Army Publications website and figure out how to get those ordered to distribute them. You can get them digitally emailed to you now. When I was a commander for an FSC, I had my maintenance platoon leader read it every month and then develop a little summary email to blast out to the battalion for pertinent articles that, for example, for the two engineer companies, if it was something dealing with the dozer or vertical piece of equipment, they would get that and it was about educating the force and getting after some preventative maintenance. The other two resources I want to highlight before handing off to Wes to close out the episode are the ATTP field manual, ATTP 4-33, which is the field maintenance ATTP, recently published in the last couple of years. It's a really handy guide for how maintenance is conducted in the field. And if you need a quick starting point, check out that manual. It's a really easy read. Lastly is LIW, Logistics Information Warehouse. Talked about it on the last episode. Every PL and XO and commander should get an account.
Hey, so in closing, everybody, like, you know, Dave and I don't proclaim to be the experts on logistics, but we do have some experience with it. And the way we learned all this is just through living through it and talking to people within our unit. So we encourage you and challenge you to talk to leaders within your organization. You know, talk to your battalion XO because they've got a wealth of knowledge on this topic. Talk to the folks who work in your motor pool because this is their job day in and day out. And I challenge you to go ask them, like, hey, how can me and my organization become better at logistics? How can we help you help us, basically? And you'd be surprised at what they tell you. You'd be surprised at all the information you start learning once you open yourself up to those types of discussions. So, again, thank you all. We were happy to sit here and produce this with you. Hope that you have a wonderful rest of a day, night, whatever it is for you.
The views expressed in the Leaders Huddle podcast are the opinions of the hosts and guests. The discussion shared here does not represent the official position of the United States Military Academy or the U.S. Army.